Another Paul, would you teach us to pray?
Yeah. Well, just to answer that question, just succinctly, one of the things that we have done, again, Baptist theology, the question was, will you teach us to pray? Baptist theology has quite often been reactionary, in that we see something wrong committed with some other either denomination or group that identifies itself with Christianity, and then we run the other way so far in order to eliminate any identification with that group. One of the things has been Matthew 6 and the Lord's teaching on prayer. He was asked specifically, Lord, teach us to pray. Now in Luke 11, he answers with what has been commonly known the Lord's Prayer. I prefer the model prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 9, it comes out a lot more clearly. But if you want to learn to pray, then just do what he said. Pray then in this way. Our Father who art in heaven. Now, what is he trying to teach us? Is he giving a specific thing on use these words? Well, we're warned about giving too much attention to certain words. But what he's giving us here is the perfect psychology or attitude of prayer. Our Father. We come to Him as Father. He is our Father. He will never, ever come to us again in the sense of a punitive judge, but always as a loving Father. He is our Father. We have access in the Beloved. You just go throughout all the epistles trying to even understand what it means to call God our Father. So there's this great openness and familiarity that we can have. But at the same time, your Father happens to be in heaven. And so we hold this tension of I have this access to God. I am His Son. He is my Father. It's almost like here is in again Isaiah chapter 6. Of course, that's the Son, John tells us in John chapter 12. But it's God upon this road, on this throne, and the angels surrounding Him. These gigantic, mesmerizing creatures that if we saw one would probably turn our planet to dust, and yet they can't look upon Him. And yet we as His children can run across that forbidden space and go play among the folds of His robe. He is our Father, but our Father is in heaven. He's the God of glory, the Lord of the universe, the God of gods and the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And so we hold this sense of the fatherhood of God with the sense of the holiness and the lordship of this Father of ours. And we can only study Scripture to begin to grow in balancing and understanding both these tensions. And then he says, hallowed be thy name, sanctified be thy name. Let thy name be separate from every other name. Now, he gives us three petitions. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Something that we need to understand, they are three petitions, but in reality, in another sense, they are one great petition. I call this the kingdom petitions. You see, here's the problem with why prayer isn't answered. Seek ye first the kingdom. Before you can even think about prayer, you have to have a right view of God's will and of the supremacy of His will, and that everything is all about God. So I pray in this way. My own life. All right, both my hips have been replaced. My wrists have been broken several times. I got more metal in me than a Tonka truck, and my body hurts all the time. When you have an MRI and the doctor personally calls you at your house, you know you're in trouble. So I come before God and I say, God, heal me. If through healing my body, Your name will be sanctified, Your kingdom will come and Your will be done in a greater way than heal my body. But if Your will be accomplished and Your name will be sanctified in a greater way by crushing me into gravel, then so do it. You see, that's our problem. We're praying about our will and hoping He'll accept it. The whole thing comes down to a pastor has a need. He needs a new car. Lord, if you can get glory for yourself, advance your kingdom more, and promote godliness in me through giving me a car, give me a car. If not, let me walk. It's a whole new way of looking at prayer. It's all about, first of all, His name being considered special, unique, holy among all. That's your greatest thing. Now let's go to our common church prayer meetings. They have absolutely nothing to do with that. Prayer meetings in a Baptist church are usually a town meeting with 5 minutes of prayer at the end. A town gossip session. So-and-so just lost their job. So-and-so just got a bum knee. They're in the hospital. I remember going to a revival. I don't know where it was, a revival. That's what they called it. And I was preaching, and it was the Sunday morning. And they called me in there and said, "Brother Paul, all the leaders want to have a special time of prayer, all the elders." So that's wonderful. So we get in there, and I mean, one elder said, "So-and-so just had some sort of extremely advanced surgery," and he went into about 15 minutes, or no, about 5 minutes of exactly what that surgery was. Someone else said, "Well, you know, are you sure they should have done that with that surgery?" And then someone else started mentioning, we sat in there for 25 minutes. It was like a board meeting at a medical convention. We're trying to pray all the saints out of heaven instead of praying sinners into heaven. We have prayer meetings, and what are they about? Are they people falling on their faces and saying, "God, your will be done in this community, your kingdom be advanced in this community"? No, we're praying about people's bad knees. It's not that we shouldn't pray for that, but is that to consume our prayer meetings? Just the individual needs of ours that are not life and death situations, that have nothing to do with the advancement necessarily of godliness or the kingdom. Our focus in prayer has to be not that I have this need, God, will you answer it? But it has to be, "God, I'm all about your glory. But if you can advance this glory through meeting of this need, then please do it. If not, then let me lay here bare." See, it's all about Him. Also, John Piper says this, and it's very, very good, that prayer is nothing more than a wartime walkie-talkie. Prayer is not for a person who is not in the battle of advancing the kingdom. Because prayer is all about advancing the kingdom. It's not about getting our needs met or advancing our own needs. It's about advancing the kingdom. So prayer functions when you're a person who's given his life, whatever that is, whether it's as a preacher, a missionary, a factory worker, a carpenter, a homemaker, whatever. You've given your life to follow suit with what God's called you to do to advance your kingdom, His kingdom. And while you're working to advance His kingdom, you're praying for all things to fall in place in your own personal life and everywhere else in accordance with whatever will advance that kingdom of God. So that, just real shortly, a little bit on prayer.